the moon is currently in Aries, but the eclipse won't actually perfect until tomorrow. Wait, let me see, what time is it gonna... It'll be tomorrow, Monday, April 8th, around 1 p.m. Central. That will be when it perfects. Anybody here from... It'll be 1 p.m., so the afternoon. But is anybody driving to see the eclipse? You guys know that's not part of my religion. Just kidding. But I think it's probably a really cool experience to see. I just can't, like, I just, as a Hellenistic astrologer, you know, I don't love to be, like, overly dogmatic about certain things, so you just kind of have to go with your gut. But for me, I'm like, I don't think I can look at it. The Hellenistic astrologers said that it was kind of a bad omen to, look at the eclipse. Maybe not necessarily a bad omen, but I don't know if anybody has ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey. But it's one of my favorite movies. And at some point in the movie, he's like super frustrated about his life. And he like almost gets in a car accident. He pulls over on the side of the road. And like, there's like this huge storm. And he says like, smite me, oh mighty smiter. And, that is, for me, that's the energy of watching the eclipse, like, with your bare eyes or whatever, you know? Like, it's kind of like smite me, oh mighty smiter energy. And it just depends if you would like to engage with that energy or not. Sarah, you said, in true Mercury retrograde fashion, my plans are loose and I still feel conflicted. Same, like, honestly, I was kind of conflicted because I was listening to one of my friends who's just, like, totally Gemini contrarian, and they were like, you gotta see it, this is, like, a once-in-a-lifetime once in a multiple lifetime thing, like, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you know, they're right. Like, you're never going to see this again, you know, probably. So I totally think it might be worth it to watch it if you want. Emmy, you said, smite me, I don't care at this point. Honestly, power to you. And Corey, you said, thankfully, it will be cloudy and rainy. No possibility of provoking the gods. Yeah. You know what made me really, really nervous was my friend was getting their car fixed. And they left for their, like, little eclipse weekend. So they literally picked up the car from the repair shop, like, yesterday morning. And then, like, an hour later, left to travel to now be, like, in the eclipse zone. And I was like, okay, this is pushing it. I'm sorry, it's pushing it. Like, car problems and then going, like, I don't know. It's living on the wild side in my eyes. But you have to let go and let God, as... Can't control everybody, right? But please let me know how your eclipse watching experience is if you choose to watch. I do think it's interesting that the eclipse is happening at 19 degrees Aries, and at 19 degrees Aries, and it is conjunct Chiron at 19 degrees Aries. And this is like a particularly interesting combination. It actually doesn't happen very often that an eclipse is exactly conjunct the asteroid Chiron. Corey said, my friend just took a full job of red flags and bought a new car. Yeah, right? Emmy, I'm lucky I pretty much live in the eclipse zone. I couldn't avoid the craziness. Yeah, yeah. So Chiron is kind of a part of this eclipse energy in some way. And who is Chiron? We know him as the wounded healer archetype. And I find it's really funny because I find with natal chart readings, Chiron often indicates a place in your chart where you actually have a lot of potential. You might even have like this specific talent or gift, especially pertaining to healing, where Chiron is, but yet you don't see it that way. And you might even have a complex, a wounded complex about that specific part of your life, right? So like my personal example is that I have Chiron in Virgo in the third house of communication and writing. So it's funny, like, I was a creative writing major. I literally have a podcast, which is very Mercury, third house, Virgo, Chiron, you know? And I keep saying Mercury because Virgo is ruled by Mercury, but I don't actually have Mercury in the third house. But I can't tell you, like, especially in the early days of podcasting, you know, I've been reflecting on this too, because it's like my business anniversary around this time. And the early days of my podcast, I mean, I had no idea if anything I was saying made any sense to anyone. Like, I legitimately didn't know if I was making sense. And you'll actually hear me say this phrase a lot. It's like, I'm like, is that making sense? Or how does that hit you? Because I want to make sure I'm making sense. I'm like, I have such an insecurity about, like, am I just talking so, like, am I just blabbing away and these nonsensical things, it's not translating properly, right? But yet, like, most of the time I feel like people are grasping what I'm saying. I just can't feel that way. Like, I don't feel confident about it, right? And that applies to, like, my podcast. And of course, I think I've gotten more confident as the years have gone on. But this is all to say, like, Chiron in the third house, it's like this gift for writing or speaking or whatever, communicating a message. But then you yourself, like, it's so hard to see yourself the way that other people may see you. And Emmy, yeah, you have the same. So just out of, from my story, you might be able to sense or tap into the sort of Chiron energy, which is, I do have a talent or a gift or some kind of offering to give to the world that is an offering of healing to the world. And yet this offering is tied to an insecurity or a wounding, right? And I think the fact that the eclipse is happening with Chiron, I think there's something about this eclipse that is perhaps bringing attention to where that wounding has written the narrative, you know, too much. I think we all have a place in our lives, or multiple places in our lives, where we question our ability, we question our capability, we question, you know, am I just bound to suffer in this way? Again, those are all very Chironian questions. And eclipses tend to illuminate. Eclipses are extreme illumination moments, right? So wherever our insecurities or the places where we believe something is not possible or we are not capable, I think there's something about this eclipse that illuminates where that isn't true. Like, we might be just like, oh, I've totally bought into that narrative of suffering. I've totally bought into the attitude, the no can do attitude. I've totally bought into the narrative of I couldn't be capable of that reality. And with the illumination of the eclipse, I think something is sort of forcing us to, or blinding us into realizing, like, oh gosh, like, I was wrong. Not only could I be capable of that, but perhaps the universe is actually beckoning me towards that in some way, shape, or form. Now, keep in mind that when we're beckoned towards a new beginning during a new moon eclipse, like the one we have tomorrow on April 8th, that doesn't always feel good. Like, it's not the serendipitous new moon where you're like, oh, I'm planting new seeds, la-di-da-di-da. I have all these intentions. I think the new moon energy is more kind of like a Ten of Wands energy.
I found this on the web.
Oh, we're turning off my Apple Watch. It's kind of like a Ten of Wands energy, which is an energy of, I've taken this way. I've taken the hard way, or I've taken the narrative of suffering as far as it can go. My strategy of, maybe my unconscious strategy of believing this could never be the case, that could never be true, that would be too hard. It's now at its limit. We've reached a limitation with some kind of Chiron wound. And I think part of this eclipse is actually giving us an opening or a yes. And that doesn't mean that opening or that yes is immediately exciting to us, you know, or is immediately filled with optimism, you know, but there's an opening nonetheless. And, oh, Sarah, you said a mantra I've been using for a few months now is, I'm wildly capable. Ooh, that's good. That's good. That even, like, hits me. I'm like, ooh, like, where could I apply that? more, more I'm wildly capable, or it's more than likely, it's inevitable, right, that this capability is within me. So I want you to think about, you know, the eclipse doesn't all come crashing down. The eclipse energy doesn't usually come crashing down all on the same day. Like, whatever this is for you is already happening, most likely. So, you know, where have you been presented with a limitation? And what is the opening, the Ace of Wands from the Ten of Wands? What is the opening that is now presenting itself from the limitation? Also, I think it's interesting because between the Ten of Wands and the Ace of Wands, the middle point is the Five of Wands. So this is kind of a point of chaos and personal conflict, you know, because we're seeing how the limitation is presenting itself. Maybe it's sort of, maybe the limitation is simply, I can't keep, you know, lacking boundaries at work or whatever it is. Like, I can't keep pushing my limits at work. And I know deep down for my health and well-being, I really have to make a commitment to myself to leave on time every day at 5 o'clock or 5:30, right? But in that, you know, admitting there's a limitation here. You know, I only have X amount of time in a day. And if I keep giving all of my sacred energy to work and staying late 4 out of 5 days in a week, I actually don't have the energetic capacity to do the things I'm saying that I want to be doing, right? It could be something as simple as that. You've realized I've reached a limit on this pattern, on this strategy. That might cause some panic. Oh my God, well, if I have to commit to leaving at 5:30, I'm setting that boundary. You know, what is my boss going to think about me? What are my coworkers going to think about me? What if the work culture thinks I'm a slacker? What if people judge me? That's like, I think that's a lot of the conditioning I think we sometimes have around work and actually leaving on time. It's kind of like that big brother capitalism conditioning, you know, oh my God, what if someone's going to judge me that I'm like leaving on time? This is so like American culture too, right? But that's where the chaos and the conflict is internal. And that's where the mantra has to flip, right? Like the mantra is flipping of, I don't know if it's like even like I deserve to leave on time, because it's like that seems inevitable, but it's sort of like my expansion depends on my ability to leave on time, right? And that's where the opening, the Ace of Wands, happens. So this is all to say, if you're coming up against a limitation and it's causing some internal conflict, you know something has to change. It's like you're getting spiritually itchier. Like itchy, like you're like irritated. There's a conflict. You can't keep up with this limitation anymore. And the new way doesn't actually appeal to the ego that much. That's the thing. Your ego isn't going to like it. your ego is not going to like it. Like, the new way is uncomfortable. But at the same time, I'm kind of tapping into, like, right now, the universe is kind of delivering what we're manifesting in a lot of ways. The ego doesn't always like how it's being delivered, though. Yeah, Emmy, you said I cried 3 times at work yesterday. That's rough. It's interesting, because I'm Cancer rising, so my eclipse is in the 10th house, and, you know, it's my 4-year business anniversary, and around this time, and something I kind of told myself at the beginning of the year was, like, okay, like, I'm gonna, you know, get a little bit more refocused on, you know, being or trying to step in more to, like, focusing on my business full time, which is ultimately the goal. And I've also been pretty gentle with myself, or I've learned to be gentle with myself with that goal, because, well, a lot of reasons, like, the pandemic, the insane cost of living, you know, in the city, like, it's a lot to put on your shoulders to completely support yourself from your own business. And this is thus why I have a part-time job. Now, for, like, a multitude of reasons, like, some of my hours got cut, like a minimal amount got cut at my part-time job because some other people's schedules and blah, blah, blah. There's no tea, no shade. It just is what it is. And so my hours got cut and I was like, ooh, like that's kind of, my ego doesn't like that. My ego doesn't like that because on the one hand, I can tell there's this part of my ego that's like really attached to some of the set income I have from my part-time job. Like that feels somewhat safe to me, right? Yet the goal, you know, the sort of eclipse new moon moment is how do I set myself up just a little bit better, a little bit more slowly, but how do I make some progress with reshooting my arrow back to full-time astrology, tarot, teaching stuff? Like, in this instance, did the universe not answer me? You know, like, the universe totally answered me. And it's funny, it's all happening in my 10th house of career. And, you know, at first it was easy to kind of like have some tension with some of the set income that I'm going to be losing from this minor hour cuttage, right? And at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, this is it. Like, this is the portal. What am I going to do with that time? And it was so interesting because Sarah Cook and I have been wanting to reboot our creativity class, The Untethered Artist, and I did not have a free weeknight to do it. And now that my hours have rolled back, I suddenly have an opening to do it. So I like texted her immediately and I was like, let's have a meeting because I think the time has finally showed itself, you know, to have the class again. And that's exactly what we're doing, you know? So it was this moment of chaos. Oh my God. Not really, but you know, it was a moment of tension. Ugh, my hours, my set income, is decreasing in some minor way. What am I going to do? But it also gave me the space to implement something that I want to implement more in my business, right? And even then, too, I'm thinking I now have some more time for my astrology courses coming this summer, too. So this is all, like, personal hearsay, and I'm blabbing. But I'm letting you guys know, like, it was this, the eclipse opening will feel initially unsatisfactory, irritating, scary, anxiety inducing to the ego that wants to stay the same and wants safety, right? So there's a bit of the eclipse opening that will feel slightly unsafe to the ego. It's not actually unsafe because the universe has us, right? And the universe is like simultaneously presenting us with that opening. But at the same time, there's this conflict. And that's sort of what happens in the five, in this journey from the Ten of Wands, the Five of Wands, and then to the Ace of Wands. I don't know why Spirit was telling me to go backwards. Where initially I was like, oh, okay, they want like this backwards presentation of this energy. But it all makes sense as we're talking about it. Alexandra, you said you've got the tools to keep the green coming. Godspeed, Godspeed. Yeah. And then Elizabeth, you said, I cried reading a poem I wrote in the fifth grade about my grandma's funeral yesterday. I'm also a Cancer moon. That's so interesting. You know, you're not the only one who's brought up ancestral connections, to me in the past couple days. One of the reasons that actually is good to be reminded of, because Aries, the sign where the eclipse is taking place, is Aries is symbolic of me, myself, and I. You know, Aries is your autonomy, your individuality. Aries is the sign that separates us from sort of everything else, because it's a symbol of you literally being like birthed and given a name of your own. And the fact that this eclipse is all happening in Aries, part of our fear stories that we might have about certain expansions or our level of capability might be not even our fear, our individual fears, but rather an ancestral narrative that we carry. So part of the Aries energy is seeing ourselves as individuals who are apart from that ancestral narrative. And most of the time when you hear a success story, that's typically the underlying theme in some way. Like a success story about, like, I don't know, starting a business, becoming a star, or like, you know, whatever. I don't know. Anybody can comment below a success story that, you know, they find inspiring. But a lot of success stories, the underlying tone is an individual who had to separate or cut cords from the ancestral narrative or the ancestral underpinning of their wound and overcame that wound in some way. The movie Holes is coming to mind with Shia LaBeouf. So that's my favorite movie about ancestral healing and separating from the narratives in which we inherit. Because in that movie, Stanley Yelnez inherits not only his name, but a narrative of bad luck. And in the movie, what he does is he individuates from that narrative. And once he does, he breaks the ancestral pattern and abundance can flow, right? So we all kind of have to do that in this lifetime in some way. And that reminds me of... that reminds me of an Aries new moon eclipse in some way. So, yeah. That is the tea, my friends. Let's do this. I do want to do some individual polls. But in this moment, I feel that I need to use the archetype deck for the individual polls, and the archetype deck is in my living room. So I'll be right back. I'm gonna go grab that. So comment below any questions or things that we can poll on, and I'm happy to do some individual polls, some individual prayers, and right now throughout the month of April, I am doing 20% off any first-time natal chart readings with me. So if you've never had a full natal chart reading with me before, and you've been wanting to, it's a good time to step into my office and we can do a little natal chart reading exploration. And if you're in Chicago, I have a free Jupiter workshop tonight at the Acorn, which is a location in Logan Square. You can DM me for the address if you would like to come. It is 7 to 9 p.m. Tonight we'll be talking about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction, which is probably a good thing to keep in mind during the eclipse, right? Because we're talking about how the eclipse sometimes limits us, but then there's sort of this impending expansion, right? Okay, those are my announcements, and I'm going to go grab my archetype deck. Be back in 1 minute. Okay, I'm back. Sorry for the podcast listeners who had to listen to that blank space that I won't edit out because I'm lazy. Okay. I have this little honey calcite that my friend brought me back from Sedona when they were there last week. And I love it. It's like... I haven't gotten a new crystal in probably 2 years. I don't know. I think when you like start your spiritual journey, you get like so, oh my God, I need all my crystals, my decks. And then you realize that you're the tool and not the crystals and not the decks. And then you like become disinterested in in collecting more. So, like, I hardly ever buy crystals or decks or anything anymore, just because I literally have so much already from the first year of, you know, getting interested in this stuff. But then when you're gifted a crystal, it feels like it makes a difference. And then another spiritual tool, Alexandra sent this to me for my birthday, and I love it. Little mini singing bowl. I've never had a singing bowl before, and I love it. So let's call in the guides, ancestors, and helping spirits for myself and any witch church listener who is with us today. And we'll just ask for the messages in the highest good for this eclipse season and any motivations and confidence that we may need to have during this eclipse season to move forward on our path. We'll ask for those types of vibes as well. Okay. Yay. So let's see here. Celeste, you said, I love some fourth house wisdom. Yeah. And again, I'm pulling from the Wild Unknown Archetypes deck from Kim Kranz. Guys, if one of the Greek cards comes out, I'm going to have to check the guidebook. Just telling you right now. I can't keep... I've had this deck for 2 years. I cannot learn what those are. Okay. So, Celeste, you got the gem archetype. And this card reminds me of, it reminds me of the saying, like, a diamond in the rough, or trying to find a needle in the haystack, you know, like trying to find how this confusing or tangled situation could be also containing some kind of gem, if you will, or something of benefit to you. And this isn't to say that, like, all sucky situations, you know, you have to immediately find the brighter side of things. I think that's actually quite unhealthy, and it keeps us from really acknowledging our grief. But I also think there's something about grief that could hold some kind of hidden gem for you. So don't be surprised, actually, if you stumble upon these gems, and allow the gems to exist side by side the grief. And something that comes to mind is even like your own work as a healer. You might be already noticing some of these gems in your client consultations, you know, like that's where you're actually going to notice them even more deeply. So I like this for you, Celeste. Sarah, you said, can I have a card for my job search? I have 2 offers pending and 2 more interviews this week. Oh yeah. I'm proud of you, Sarah. You got the seed. So fun. I'm getting that, you know, it's kind of weird because I'm almost getting this sense that it doesn't matter what you choose as much as you think. And I'm getting a sense that you will have, you do have options. You might even have more than 2 options by, you know, the end of the month. And like, one option isn't going to drastically change your trajectory from the other. All of the options are going to present you with learning opportunities. And I think to remember that the option that you're choosing, you're almost asking yourself, which is the right starting point for me? Like, where's the best point to plant my seed in a garden that will one day inevitably expand beyond this job that I'm saying yes to this month, right? So that's how you're assessing which one is the best. Like, you're kind of like, okay, well, where do I want to really start my path? Where do I want to plant my seed? What garden seems like it would be the most supportive to plant my seed? And yeah, I'm thinking about how, you know, even though I started my business in 2020, so it's like a 4-year business anniversary for me, a year before that in 2019, that's when I worked at the spiritual supply shop in the suburbs. And no tea, no shade, but like there was a lot of trials and tribulations of like starting as a seedling there. And, you know, looking back, I think that was part of my path, like having to learn the hard way and having to learn that certain teachers aren't trustworthy or, you know, like whatever it is. But I won't get into that too deeply. But looking back, I like kind of wish I had assessed a little bit more of like, is this a really nurturing place for me to plant my roots? Because oddly enough, now the part-time job that I have, you know, even though there's been some scheduling challenges, it's such a nurturing place. And I like think about like, oh, what would have been like to like start my journey here earlier? And what that would that have changed things or whatever? I mean, you can't think like that, but yeah, now I'm blabbing. Okay, let's move on. Annie, could I have a card for some guidance for upcoming things? Yeah. Okay. And Annie, your moon's in Aries, right? Yeah. So this is a big moment for you. Or is it Sagittarius? Something. There's something in Aries. Oh, Annie, you got the Poet. This is beautiful because the Poet's gift is to make meaning. To make meaning of things. And that is a powerful gift to have when you are an intuitive, a highly sensitive person, neurodiverse, you know, like, and those are the Poet people, you know, the intuitives, the neurospicy, the highly sensitive people are naturally poets and naturally good at seeing the underlying meaning of things. And I think it's partially our role to teach others how to be the poet, if you will, and how to search for meaning. And it kind of reminds me, feels like you're going to become the teacher in some way. I'm not sure if you have any classes or ideas in that way coming up, but I would encourage you to potentially think about like stepping into that mentor or teacher role, because I think at this point you have a lot to share. Cool. Corey, I'd love an eclipse card. Cool, Corey, you got the Village. This is beautiful. The Village reminds us that our community connections are important right now. And if you feel isolated from community or feel like you're a little bit more in the hermit phase, I think it's a good time to expand outward a bit and find that community. If you're thinking about moving or shifting your location, having, like, where do I find my community as, like, a question in mind feels really important. I'm also thinking about, like, this ancient image of the village where the village was kind of like an ecosystem where one neighbor had one thing that they could trade with someone else's thing, and there was a helper or a service person for every single need, and the community, you know, flowed around the idea that everybody was helping each other. So, how can you click into that sort of receptivity from others, but also you're also servicing others with your own gifts and talents? Those are my thoughts. And Ellis, you said big shifts for myself and loved ones. How can I keep a cool head through it all? Yeah. Oh, this is good. The eternal child. It's kind of amazing how compassion and empathy can come through to us when we start to recognize our own inner child more and more. We start to speak to our inner child because we have more awareness around their fears, their needs, their wants, their desires. And when we know our inner child more deeply, we can recognize the inner child of others more quickly. And then we aren't as triggered, or things don't escalate as much as they used to, because we can just kind of recognize, like, oh, that person is speaking from their wounded inner child, and it doesn't really have much to do with me. So while in the past I would have taken that personally, it actually doesn't have much to do with me, you know? So I think that's the message, like, tapping into your inner child helps you see other people's inner child. Elizabeth, you said, I have a lot of grief going on for a lot of reasons. Would love some support. Yeah. Okay. So you got the mentor. This makes me feel that, yeah, it's funny. You're like, I need some support. I need some guidance. makes me feel like, do you have, a grief support system? Do you have some kind of spiritual group or community that you can visit just to be in the presence of support and understanding? Is there a therapist or some kind of counselor or some kind of spiritual guide in your life that can help put perspective to this moment for you? And I'm not necessarily telling you to, like, seek answers outside of yourself, but I do think it can be perspective shifting and healthy to get perspective. And that's really what's coming through, like, getting perspective from whoever is important right now. Therapist, an astrologer, a tarot reader, a grief counselor, a grief group, I have a good rec for a grief practitioner if you need it. DM me. Sam, you said I would love a card for the week ahead. The eclipse is happening in my 7th house. I'm going to review our separation agreement on Tuesday. Okay. That's some eclipse vibes, you know? Okay, Sam, I kind of like this. So, the forest is what comes up for you. And if you think about it in, like, myths and fairy tales and parts of Women Who Run With the Wolves, which I know you've read in some context, the forest presents itself to characters in stories who are about to enter into unexplored territory, and they are navigating the forest based off of their intuition. In my Women Who Run With the Wolves class, we just read the Vasilisa chapter, where Vasilisa is given this doll, and it's the doll that represents her intuitive feeling and actually leads her through this dark forest to go find the fire that she then gets to from Baba Yaga, and then she has to find her way back home with the fire. And it's like Vasilisa's intuition that leads her through all of that. And I think that's what the forest represents. The archetypal place itself is sort of like a test of how our intuition helps navigate us. So I think this is validation that your intuition is strong. It's guiding you through this unknown territory, and you can listen to it. So, the forest. Jess, you said, can I have a card for some guidance about moving forward? Yeah, let's see. Jess. Okay, the vision. I like this. This is kind of reminding me of, like, even the literal practice of making a vision board. I think in order to figure out how to move forward, there's something that you need to see in front of you. And I'm not sure if you do consider yourself to be a visual learner, but sometimes that's the magic of creating something like a vision board or a colorful artistic page in our journal or whatever it is. Like, there's something here with literally you have to see it to believe it. So, or like, yeah, you have to create it and see it with your own eyes. So doing some meditative journaling, art making, vision boarding will actually help you figure out what feels best to move forward. Alexandra, you said, I would love a card for some light within family dynamics. Yeah, the vow. The vow comes out, and the vow represents our agreements, both literal agreements like a marriage vow, but then also I think we often have like unsaid agreements that are vows. Like, I feel like a mother's unsaid agreement or vow with their child is like, no matter what, I'll always love you and I'll always be here for you. Like, or like, you know, that kind of thing. So I think even if there are challenges within the relationships, the interpersonal relationships in your family right now, the vows are still there of like, through thick and thin, I'm gonna be there for you. I'll always love you. And it's through those vows that do carry us through the tough times. And what vows do you have to yourself right now, too? What agreements and what commitments do you have to yourself that can help you stay grounded during this time? Okay. And my friends, I'm sorry, I'm not going to get all to all the questions because I have to get off right at 11 for a client session. But if I didn't get to your question, I am in full agreement that the universe will answer your question in the next couple days through a sign or a symbol or a message that comes through you intuitively. And it was so great to do a check-in with everybody during this eclipse season. And we can kind of start talking about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction after eclipse season passes. So, my friends, lots of love to you. I'm wishing everybody an expansive week. And thank you all, and we'll talk soon.